Let's get the local view. He's the fine columnist for the Register Guard. Find his work on the cover of the sports section. Catch up online, registerguard.com. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at AustinMeekRG. Austin, always a pleasure. How are you today, sir?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing okay. How are you doing today?
Great. Lot to cover. Especially when you consider this has been a football offseason like none other. So, I don't know, let's start with, have we come up with a ridiculous name yet, like Workout Gate, with three players sent to the hospital, some kind of an osis related to extreme muscular strain. Are enough facts verified to even determine if these guys were pushed too hard? It's been out there for the better part of a day. What's your read at this point?
To me, the only fact that matters is the three players are in the hospital. You know, I know that there's been a lot of back and forth about that, and you know, was the workout too strenuous, and were other players affected in the same way, and et cetera, et cetera. To me, that's all a little bit irrelevant. Regardless of whether it affected some players differently than others, the fact that there's three guys in the hospital, not one, not two, but three guys in the hospital, to me, that's a huge red flag. And I think this is a really potentially serious issue for Oregon. I think they've opened themselves to a lawsuit here, and I think there are some serious questions about the commitment to player well-being, which is one of the first things Rob Mullen cited in hiring Willie Taggart, is that, you know, we like that this guy shares our commitment to the well-being of student athletes. You know, well, great. It sounds great to say that. And, you know, I don't necessarily have information at this moment in time to doubt that, other than the fact that a workout apparently supervised by the strength coach that Willie Taggart just hired ended with three players again in the hospital. I go back to that again and again, because it's just bad. It's the kind of thing that in this day and age of football, I don't think should happen.
Well, what you're doing is sticking to what's factually accurate for what we know now, and there's a place for that in journalism, just not on Twitter. I also want to throw out one thing to kind of examine all areas. We know that under certain circumstances, this has ended up in tragedy. The young man from Cal, we've seen some other schools, and it also seems like sometimes it's mostly heat-related, arrhythmia of the heart and stuff like that. So if we're going to gather facts, can we at least knock on wood and say whoever was responsible at least had the, intelligence or awareness to say there are some players in distress, we need an upgrade in their medical attention?
Well, I mean, obviously it's good that nobody died. And it's good that apparently Oregon monitored it closely enough that when the players were showing signs of distress, it was addressed. So, you know, I guess if your baseline is making sure nobody dies, Oregon's on the right side of that right now. But I think the standard should be a lot higher than that. And I think it has to be higher even than, you know, giving players the option to take themselves out of a workout if they're feeling like they're past their limit. You know, I've seen the picture of the new strength coach. He looks like a big, bad, intimidating dude. And, you know, if I was a player and I was trying to impress a new coaching staff and I knew that there was a perception out there that maybe things were a little bit too lax under the previous staff and maybe players weren't in great shape, it would be really, really hard for me to take myself out of a workout, given the, you know, the power dynamic between coach and player. That's a lot to put on the player to say you've got to be the one to take care of your own health, because if you don't, we're going to keep pushing you. You know, at some level, the guy who gets paid as the strength coach has to be able to keep in consideration and has to know the limits of the players. You know, ultimately, I think it's on the strength coach if players get pushed past their limits. And, you know, like you said, we need to know more about this. We need to get some questions answered before we can say definitively that's what happened in this case. But if it is what happens, there should be consequences, because that's a really serious thing in my mind.
All right. Well, as we know, these things, they take a first step, then they grow, and hopefully the actual facts will be revealed. Let's move on. We're talking with Austin Meeker, the Register guard. Once Coach Helfrich was dismissed, a lot of talk turned to, well, what about the staff? We know a lot had many decades here at Oregon. Then it became obvious, well, this is a house cleaning. A great piece by Steve Mims, our colleague today, about Steve Greatwood landing at Cal. Safe to say that Coach Wood understood getting fired, but didn't see it so cut and dry?
Yeah, there's been a lot said and written about what happened to the Oregon football program. And, you know, I had to sort of shake my head because I've read in recent weeks, you know, the Oregonian did a really thorough piece sort of looking at what led to the downfall. And you had a lot of players saying anonymously that, you know, things really slipped in the weight room and the summer conditioning was really, really poor. And it just, you know, I had to shake my head because I remember sitting face-to-face with players last fall talking about the summer and hearing how it had been the greatest off-season in the history of the program. You know, participation was off the charts. Everybody was bought in. You know, all the stuff you hear every fall before the season. And I think the truth was probably somewhere in the middle of that. You know, I don't think it was probably quite as bad as maybe it seems in hindsight, but it definitely wasn't as good as they made it out to be in the midst of it. So I guess as it pertains to Steve Greatwood, you know, I think I believe what he told Steve Mims, which was that, you know, it was maybe a small part of the team. It wasn't everybody on the team, but there definitely was a problem. Could this staff have fixed it? Maybe. But I think deep down Steve understands why that change was made. And for him, I'm happy that he landed on his feet. He's a good coach. He obviously still had some gas left in the tank, so I'm glad that he was able to find another job.
He's only a couple of years older than me. I started hearing people say, is he done? Is he retired? It's like, wait, whoa, ho! It ain't over just yet.
You know, I know you've got something left in the tank.
You mentioned it, but you know the media who's covered Oregon for a long time, and like you said, you got to know the coaches themselves, the interaction with the coaches. You know what he did 30 years here. And to not only land a job, but, you know, a prestigious university and a conference like this, safe to say the widespread word of the people you deal with is like, it was just awesome to see him land on his feet, and everybody wishes a guy like this nothing but well.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's hard when you're a coach in his position and you've been at the same place for so long. Now, he's not that old, but he spent so much of his career at Oregon that you can kind of get pigeonholed. You know, he's no longer the up-and-coming, hot, young coaching candidate that somebody's going to be dying to hire. You know, he's kind of the grizzled old veteran. And so, you know, it's good that there was a situation with a coach like Justin Wilcox who knows what he's all about. And, you know, understands that he's a good coach and that he hasn't lost his touch. It's a good situation for him because guys at that stage of their career, it can be hard to find other opportunities, especially if you haven't really climbed the ladder, you know.
Right.
Coaching so much is about connections and who you've worked with. So if you've worked in the same place for a long time, it's not like you have a huge network of guys that you've worked for and worked with over the years. So it's good that this situation came up and he could keep coaching. I'm happy for him.
Talk with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. Turn our attention to the NFL playoffs. Austin, I feel like now it's like you have to confess to being a Chiefs fan. And we always joke around here that the past doesn't really impact what's happening now, except when it does. It seems the Steelers always win and KC always doesn't. Aside from the Lions, is there like another franchise who could host a home game, not give up a touchdown, seemingly have the game tied, and end up losing like that?
Well, it would be a pretty hard sell to tell a Chiefs fan today that the past has no bearing on the present because I've seen that game way too many times as a Chiefs fan. You know, it's weird. Being a Chiefs fan, it's different than being a Royals fan. You know, growing up a Royals fan, the Royals were just always terrible. There were no expectations for them. In some ways, it wasn't that hard to be a Royals fan because you weren't really disappointed by anything because you never expected anything. Whereas with the Chiefs, you know, going back to the Marty Schottenheimer days, they were always, you know, just good enough to make the playoffs and a lot of times get a home game and make you think they really had a chance, but then they would just blow it. Like they did on Sunday, they just blew it. Like you said, you hold a team without a touchdown and you're playing at home in the playoffs. That's absolutely a game you need to win. And the Chiefs just went out there and laid an egg and blew it again. I believe that they have lost their last four home playoff games. It's been pretty agonizing.
Yeah, I just have these visions of former Niners quarterback Steve Bono and Elvis Gerback and home games and 4-point losses. Yeah, I know I'm not a Chiefs fan, but I've witnessed the misery. The Spencer Ware TD that made it 18-16, then the 2-point conversion, which was easily good, then the holding call on Eric Fisher. Do you buy into that philosophy, maybe like the end of Alabama-Clemson, where it looked like there might have been some offensive interference and defensive interference, that you eat the flag there, or you just got to call the game the same all 60 minutes?
You know, I'm not gonna blame the officials for that loss. I know Travis Kelce really went off on the officials after the game.
He did.
Said the guy didn't deserve to work at Foot Locker, which was kind of funny. But, you know, the bottom line is Pittsburgh should have won that game 35-14. You know, they kicked 6 field goals. That never happens. A team gets in the red zone that many times, they ought to score some touchdowns. So the Chiefs absolutely deserved to lose. At no point did I think they deserved to win. And so when they came back and somehow managed to tie the game for about 2 seconds before they realized there was a flag on the play, I still didn't believe they were going to win. So I think in some ways the Chiefs got what they deserved, and they probably had that call coming.
All right. One final thought, men's basketball, as we wrap things up with Austin Meek, the registered guard. 21-0 to start the game, and it gets worse. They double up by the final buzzer. Is this just a perfect storm of misery for the Bees with injuries, a hot Oregon team? Or can we just say right now, Oregon looks like the team many, many, many thought they were going to be?
Well, they do, and on the flip side of that, Oregon State does not look like the team that I thought they were going to be. I'm disappointed because I really thought the Civil War was gaining some momentum with Oregon State making the tournament last year, and you know the games in this series had been more competitive. So I really felt like the Civil War had a chance to become one of the really good rivalries in the Pac-12, but instead it's just completely fallen apart for Oregon State. They're not remotely competitive right now with Oregon, and it's disappointing. I guess it's not totally surprising because they did lose a lot from last year, and not just Gary Payton. You know, guys who were role players on that team that made the tournament that are not there, and you realize what those guys actually meant to the team. But still, Oregon State has some talent. You know, they signed a good recruiting class in Wayne Tinkle's first year,
yep,
but the injuries to Trace Tinkle and Stevie Thompson was hurt earlier in the year. They just don't have the depth to afford that. And you just hope they can get healthy and eventually get to a point where they're competitive with Oregon again, because right now it's just totally lopsided.
A buddy of mine during the game texted me, I tuned in for the Civil War and I got Grenada. I'm sorry. I thought that was either really mean or really clever.
That's pretty good.
You catch him on Twitter at Austin Meek RG. Obviously, his work each week in the Register Guard. Always appreciate the time and insight, Austin. Thanks for getting our Tuesday started. We'll catch up with you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Take it easy.